the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we do look forward to this time of day. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, as we get to open God's Word and discover great truths. It's called Exploring the Word because we do want to discover all that God has for us. Again, this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to be with you today as we are looking at foundations in our faith or fundamentals of our faith. Alex, it's very important to have a foundation. The Bible says something, if you try to build on something less than a good foundation, it's probably going to crumble, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Bert, it's good to be with you. And if I sound a little different today, it's because I greet you from hot, sunny, and pretty windy Florida. I think there's a tropical storm. I think it's Bertha. And we're down here, though, at one of our youth camps, Bert, and we've got about 100 teenagers, and we're talking about the gospel, talking about biblical worldview, and how our nation needs Jesus Christ. So I apologize for the less than ideal audio, but I do value everybody's prayers.
Well, we're glad you're on with us, Alex. And again, we praise God that Alex McFarland is able to travel. And when you travel like you do, you're going to have some times when, okay, the connection that we usually use, not quite as good. And I'm glad we got back up. And is everything going good so far there in Florida?
It's going fantastic. Got to talk to a lot of, well, I spoke this morning and got to pray with some of the young people and just getting into the Word of God. And, you know, Bert, I think about, you know, those of us that have been Christians a long, long time, you know, we've heard probably most, if not everything, the Bible contains. And it's just a beautiful thing to see teenagers, maybe for the first time, hearing about Jesus who fed the 5,000, Jesus who says, whosoever will may come, Jesus who is coming back one day to rule and reign victoriously on the earth. And I guess, Bert, I never get tired of seeing these wonderful expressions on the faces of young people who maybe for the very first time are hearing the glorious Word of God.
Well, amen. We'll be praying for that. We want all those who are listening to be praying for the week there in Florida and those young people who are there. Well, yesterday we talked about something very, very important, and that was the authority of God's Word, the inspiration the verbal inspiration God breathed. But another fundamental faith, and there are, some people say, five V's in the verbal inspiration: the virgin birth, yes, the vicarious death, the victorious resurrection, and the visual return. Having all those V's, it helps me to remember. But Alex, Jesus coming to earth as that which is, you know, birthed in you, the Holy Spirit has birthed this in you, Mary, the incarnation, the virgin birth, that which is birthed in you is of the Holy Spirit. Alex, Jesus being God and man, the only way that could happen is the Holy Spirit of God coming. And again, Jesus, the seed of Christ being born, he fully God, fully man. And it is very important. Well, it's vital. Let's go with it that way. Not just very important. Vital, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, God taking on a human body, we call that the incarnation, that God enfleshed himself. Bert, let me read a little bit of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, I'll begin at verse 15. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him, Jesus. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. That was verse 17. Now let me read 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, for in Christ lives all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. Now that's Colossians 1, 15 through 17, and verse 19, and verse 9 of chapter 2. But Bert, Jesus, well, it's as has been said, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus.
Jesus did say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so that is so true. Now, what was happening in Colossians, setting that up, they were saying God was, Jesus was less than. It was, if it wasn't Gnosticism, it was that that would be taught before Gnosticism would you know, be thrown into all the world to have to deal with. But Jesus is God. The scriptures in the Old Testament in Isaiah talk about this one that is coming. A virgin shall conceive, and that's in Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 9. You find all these prophecies in the Old Testament that God was looking forward to Jesus, Messiah, coming. God with us, Emmanuel, is what that would happen. And Matthew and Luke record those. And so we have those in us to tell us what is going to happen, that God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. I love John chapter 1. And let me read that. And then I know we can go to other places and we can talk about it. But just listen to this. John 1. And I'm going to read 1 through 5 and then skip to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, and this goes back to what Alex just read in Colossians, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, verse 14 sets it off, and the Word that they've been talking about became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, we're looking at Jesus Christ, the God in the flesh. Alex, again, foundational, fundamental, vital to our, if he is not, then it is all a lie, isn't it?
That's true. You know, you mentioned the John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I love how that is rendered. Literally, it could be rendered, the Word became flesh and made his home among us. Isn't that something? That Jesus desires relationship with you and with everyone listening, you know? And so that's why he was willing to leave heaven and come to earth, even though that would mean dying on the cross. I mean, and, you know, I've said it many times, but going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had sinned against God, and yet here comes Christ walking in the garden in the cool of the day saying, Adam, where are you? It's been said that from the beginning of the Bible, we find a seeking Savior, even though we had sinned. Adam and Eve had sinned. We had sinned. Jesus came seeking for us.
Amen. One more passage I really wanted to get to, and that's in Philippians chapter 2. Colossians 1, Philippians 2. Get those down and make sure you know them concerning Jesus Christ and who he is. Here it is. I know it's well known, but it's so powerful. Philippians 2, verse 5 and following. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now listen to this. But made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Listen to verse 9 and following a little bit as well. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, Alex, Amen. We see that, him coming to us. And that servant, let me see, that makes you think of Isaiah and the servant songs, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. We're talking about Jesus who incarnated himself. And this is one of the fundamentals. This is one of the truths of all truths. Hey, I want to read something, if I may, Bert. There was a Christian leader named Irenaeus, or some might say Irenaeus. That's how it looks. He lived about 30 years after John wrote Revelation, about 125. And part of the reason that I want to read what I'm about to read, Bert, sometimes I'll meet people and maybe they sat under a liberal professor and they'll say, well, you know, the divinity of Christ, it was invented hundreds of years after Jesus even lived. You know, the early Christians didn't believe Jesus was God, they'll say. They did. Here's what Irenaeus wrote 30 years after the life of John the Apostle of Jesus. Quote, he is all in all, patriarch among the patriarchs, law in the laws, chief priest among the priests, ruler among kings, prophet among all prophets, angel above all angels, the man among men, the son in the father, God in God. Jesus is king to all eternity. End of quote.
Amen.
Now, that is from nearly 2,000 years ago. I think they understood that Jesus is God the Son of God, King of Kings, the one and only Savior.
And those that would just, let me say, those that would deny that, they deny truth. They deny facts. They deny historical. With Irenaeus, they're just discounting that which was real, that they knew who Jesus was, that he was the God-man. And even in dire day, 2026, I was talking to someone today, and they were telling me about a YouTube, you know, this person putting it up about Jesus is not the Son of God, that we can't trust the Bible. And yes, we can. It has been documented again and again. And so here we are today, sharing with you on Exploring the Word the very importance of knowing that Jesus Christ is God who has come to dwell among us. And as you said, make his home. Real quickly, that means he was born into a family. That means he was raised in a home. That means he sat under his under Joseph and learned to be a carpenter and learned that trade. This is Jesus who came, Emmanuel, God with us. Alex, that is our Savior. There's no one like him. And the story, even though men have tried to distort it, it still rings true, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And this Jesus, he's as close by as a prayer. This is Exploring the Word with Bert and Alex, talking about the Christian faith. We've got a break. More of this and your questions after this brief intermission. Don't go away.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Praise Him for friends and family.
That's exactly what we want to do on Exploring the Word. We want to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. and I hope you are today. Sometimes I need to revert back to childhood. I know it says put away childish things, but being thankful for water, for food, for clothing, that's not childish. That is being thankful. So just be thankful for all that God has given you. Well, Alex, does the Fishbowl Retreat bring back fond memories for you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, last year we were at Pickwick Landing State Park. Did I get that right?
That's exactly right. That's where we were.
And it really was a great honor. For one thing, I have so much respect for you, Bert, and I just want to thank you for allowing me to speak last year. We met so many people, and I just really got my batteries charged, and it was my joy to pray with a number of pastors who said that AFR helps them and encourages them, and then some that, you know, just were a little bit discouraged and needed a boost. But here we are at our youth camp in Florida, and there's a youth group from Tennessee. And I said to some of the adult leaders, I said, y'all look really familiar. They said, well, we were at Fishbowl last year. We heard about your summer youth worldview camps at Fishbowl. We brought our youth group, I don't know, 15 or 20 teens plus adults. And they said, we're just indebted to Bert and Jan Harper, and our youth group is here with you because we met you guys at Fishbowl last year.
Well, amen. My wife and I, Jan, we get to host that. We've been doing it now 15 years here at AFR, and we're doing it again this year, October the 20th through the 22nd. That's this year at Pickwick Landing State Park. We're returning there. It's a beautiful place on the Tennessee River, great accommodations, great food. And this year, it's going to be a little bit different. We're not having a main teacher. We're having different individuals come in to share and tell a little bit about their story and also about how God sustained them. That's our theme, God, our sustainer. The scripture is Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And that is the promise that we have in God. And he's been our sustainer, mine and Jan's, through these years of marriage and ministry and parenting and grandparenting and caring for elderly parents. Yes, he's been there the whole time. And so at Fishbowl Retreat, you get to meet other pastors and their wives and have relationships that will last from even though they may be in different states because of social media, they become friends. We have some that they decide they'll meet ever so often once a year, even though they're miles apart, and just share and pray. And so make that part of it. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. So do this for your pastor. Go to him and say, hey, clear your calendar for October the 20th. And 20 through the 22nd. And I want to help send you to Pickwick Landing State Park for a great retreat, Fishbowl Retreat. So, Alex, we enjoyed you and Angie being there. Jan and I enjoyed just sharing our lives. Jan will be sharing. I will be preaching and teaching. So it should be a great, great Fishbowl this year, brother.
Amen. Well, Bert, you and Jan have created something very unique. And it is very needed. Bert, as you know, I have the privilege. I'm on the road just about every weekend. I'm in churches all over North America. Love it. I just feel so called to that. And our pastors, they need a word of encouragement.
Amen.
And our pastors need to feel valued, and their wives. And I just want to say to every church leader listening, this could be an incredible gift. Bert Harper and Jan have proven themselves in decades of fruitful service to the church and to Jesus. And I just want to, again, thank you for letting me speak last year. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience for pastors and their wives. So consider sending your pastor or staff. And Bert, where could people sign up for this year's Fishbowl?
Okay, they can go to repairingthefoundations.net. That's plural, and go to the Fishbowl link, and you can register there. It gives you the information, or you can call. Get ready to write this number down. I'll give you just a second. It's a number that you can call and talk to some ladies that have agreed to help me to get the list ready and get everything ready. Here's the number, 662-844-5036, extension 269. Let me give it once more, 662-844-5036, extension 269. And again, this really strengthens marriage. That's what we want. It's not necessarily for you to learn how to preach a better sermon, but it is about being a better husband, a better wife, a better parent. And that's what we concentrate on, because I'm just telling you, I've been in this long enough to see those that fell by the wayside because they did not take care of their home life. And that's what Jan and I, we really do our concentration to try to strengthen that marriage, to help them. Because I always want to tell you, that's you know, when you're called on in so many directions and people want you, and it's one thing that you try to say, oh, God, I want to do your will in ministry, but also I've got to do your will at home with my wife and my children. So, Alex, go to repairingthefoundations.net and register today if you're a pastor. And then if you, you're a pastor, you want to send them, call them, and then register.
And, Bert, may I say one more thing?
Go right ahead, brother.
The food is great.
Amen.
I mean, hey, and at the fish bowl, we had a fish fry.
Yeah.
Are you going to do that?
Well, hey, you can't be on the Tennessee River without having a fish fry. I'll just say that. It will be waiting.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Well, God bless you, Bert. God bless the work you're doing. Hey, you know, before the break, I was talking about how even at the earliest part of the church age, Christ had risen, Christ had ascended to heaven, Peter preached at Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. And I believe it's in Acts 5:42, it says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, Bert, from the earliest time, the church understood that Jesus was not just a good man, but the God-man. And Jesus didn't just speak for the Lord, he spoke as the Lord. Now, next week, I've got the great privilege of being at the Cove with just one of the greatest guys in the world, Gary Habermas. And he just published a four-volume set with Lifeway, 800 pages each, times four, 3,200 pages about the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, historical evidence for the life of Christ and the resurrection. There's nothing like it in the world. And I've known Gary Habermas since 1989. And I mean, when it comes to defending the biblical Jesus, he's the man.
Amen.
He just is. Now here's what I was going to say. The teachings that Jesus is God incarnate, he rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples. Through faith in Christ, we are forgiven. In other words, the core of the gospel, and there's a lot I could say, but get this. Habermas and others, the late James Dunn, and quite a number of others, Lee Strobel and J. Warner Wallace and N.T. Wright, a number of scholars. These core facts about Jesus were being proclaimed within 4 to 6 weeks after the cross. Not 400 years. Four, six, at most 8 weeks after Calvary. Now, here's my point. Skeptics will often say, oh, well, the gospel, it was invented and it evolved over time. No, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks after Calvary, the disciples were saying, we have seen the risen Jesus. It proves he's God. He rose. Through faith in him, we are forgiven. Christ is the Savior. Bert, I can accurately remember something that happened 2 months ago. And so my point is, and Habermas would say this, the idea that there was legend or embellishment or mythology, number one, that there wasn't time. You can't start a worldwide movement based on fairy tales in 8 weeks.
Amen.
The other thing was, if they were making this up, there were people alive that could have refuted it, but they didn't. And the early consistent message, early, right after the cross, right after the resurrection, consistent, the risen Christ, the Son of God, this is powerful, compelling historical evidence that, hey, this is real. This is reality.
It is real. And that old, was it in the 60s, God is dead? No, he is alive. He is well. And he is working in people's lives today. He came, and he came to set us free. Now, we were talking about the birth, but we're talking about also his ministry, and this probably will feed over in tomorrow about his ministry and the resurrection. But Alex, what I love the book of John. Now, hey, listen, whichever gospel I'm reading or preaching or teaching from at the time is my favorite. I figured that out. You know, each one of them are so unique in what they share the same message, but that personality of each one of the authors comes through. And with John, there's three words that really, and I said, how in the world do you talk about the ministry of Jesus? Listen, see why, and I'm just going to give them to you and you respond. Light, L-I-G-H-T, love, L-O-V-E, and life, L-I-F-E. They're all filled in the book of John continually. And that really tells the ministry of Jesus' ministry here upon earth in some ways, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. You know, I love the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I love 1 John. I mean, my goodness. And he, you know, 1 John, it goes through that quite a bit, that Jesus is light, life, and love. And that one of the earmarks that we have Jesus is that we love one another, you know? And, Bert, I was teaching a Sunday school class about a week ago, and, you know, one of the students said, well, you know, really, what is love? And I said, well, there's a number of ways to say it, but really love is to seek the highest good of another. And if we don't tell people the truth, if we don't tell them how they can know Christ, If people are on the wrong path and we don't at least make an attempt to help them find the Lord, we're not showing them love, are we?
We're really not. And again, we got about 4 minutes left if I look at the clock correctly before we go to phone calls. By the way, that number, if you want to get in line to ask a question, it is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Richard will get you and talk to you and get your question, and we'll do our best to answer it. But again, love, light, and life. Even in the book of John, and again, John and 1 John, they have so much in common. I think it may have been the same author. Okay.
Yeah. Amen.
But look, it says in verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And this light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Light overcomes darkness. If you want to expel darkness, listen, light a light, even a little match. I was listening to a song today. I was doing a little exercise, and I listened to some songs while I do that. And I decided I was going to go back to my teenage years. And there was one of the first musicals that came out, youth musicals, was back in late 69, 70, 71, and it was called Tell It Like It Is. Now, this is way before your time, Alex, but Tell It Like It Is, and it's all about Jesus. And there's a song in there, It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going. And what happens? That spark is light, and it overcomes the darkness. And there's darkness, and I'll get through, and I want you to finish up here in this segment. But listen, there's darkness in our lives where we're unable to even save ourselves. We can't get enough. We can't do what is needed. But Jesus came into this darkness to give light. And when that light shines into our heart, in our life, and we respond to that light that God has given to us, the whole world opens up. And all of a sudden, that spark has got a fire going, and we see clearly now. What a statement, Alex.
Amen. Amen. You know what? I did not know that musical, Tell It Like It Is, but I did know that song, Pass It On.
Yeah.
And but you know, one of the things, one of the titles, and there's so many things that the Bible uses, but light of the world, you know, and the light that is the life of men. And that's why we have confidence, you know, 1 John 2:28, that we are confident. Listen, if you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to fear death. Now, you know, I understand that none of us want to die necessarily, but you're ready because you have Jesus. And we don't have to be afraid over and over. In fact, 1 John says that this perfect love that we have casts out fear.
Amen. Well, we're going to be back. 888-589-8840. Give us a call with your question. It's been 4 years since the overturn of Roe, but tragically, abortions have continued to rise. Today, the abortion pill accounts for more than 60% of all abortions, and last year alone, over 1.1 million babies lost their lives. That's why the work of Preborn Network Clinics is more urgent than ever. Every day, mothers facing unplanned pregnancies walk through Preborn's doors searching for hope. Instead of pressure and fear, they're met with love. Through a free ultrasound, mothers meet their baby for the very first time.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. To donate, dial hashtag 250 and say baby. That's hashtag 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper. Amen. I try to wait until I get to that. He knows all the stars by name. And so that's our God. And that number, if you want to call us, is 888-589-8840. And we'd love to talk to you. That's kind of a, I mean, we love to open the Word, but we also love to hear the questions and talk to individuals. So the first one we're going to today is Gary in Texas. Gary, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I would like to know, when Jesus Christ was on this planet and lived his life, how many books of the Bible do they have access to at that point?
Okay, something about the Old Testament there, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah. The Old Testament that Jesus divided really into two, the law and the prophets. It would have been the same as what we have access to, which would have been 39 books of the Old Testament. You know, it's funny, I mentioned Gary Habermas. We were talking about this Sunday, he and I, just 2 days ago, that in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, 26, he affirmed the old but made provision for the new. So Jesus, you know, fluently, quotes the Old Testament. But in verse 26 of John 14, Jesus says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have told you." So isn't that something, Bert, that not only did Jesus affirm the Old Testament, he made provision for the New by promising that these disciples would be reminded, and supernaturally the Holy Spirit of God would remind the disciples of all the things that he had taught.
And
I believe that's the miracle of the inspiration of the New Testament.
I agree. And what you do, Gary, when you start reading the Gospels and then you read Acts and then you start reading the letters and you see how many quotes come from the Old Testament, you see that that was the foundation. We're talking about foundations. That was the foundation. Jesus came in the fullness of time, and part of that was that the Old Testament had put together. Now, it wasn't available to everyone. Printing press didn't come along until later. That changed everything and was made able to put the scriptures into the hands of, quote, common men and women. But it was all there, Gary. Thank you, brother, for that good question. Let's go to North Carolina, Alex's home state, and talk to Jimmy. Jimmy, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. And first of all, I'd like to thank Ms. McFarland for this past weekend at the Cove. That meant a great deal to me. It touched me. It was the first time I had the privilege to go up there and first time I had the privilege to hear Ms. McFarland talk. And I left there a very different man, to be honest with you. Hey. But my question is in regards to predestination. It's something that came up at my farm here when we were having Bible study with a group of Marines. And I really would like to have your thoughts on it. To me, it takes away the need of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be born and lived and died and resurrected on the cross for us. So I'd really like to hear your thoughts on that, please.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let me just say a word. Going to the Cove and then hearing Alex McFarland, that would be awesome. And I know, and I'm glad to hear that. Predestination carried to the point of it, like Dr. Rogers would call it, not biblical predestination, but it's fatalism when that happens, Jimmy. You know, Alex, do you hear what Jimmy's saying, that if predestination carried to its limit would be unnecessary for Jesus to die on the cross? I haven't heard that. Have you?
Well, and by the way, thank you, Jimmy, for coming to the Cove. I think I remember who you are, and it was a blessing to meet with you. It really was. Let me say this, that predestination does New Testament predestination does not mean that some are irrevocably elected, destined for hell, can't be saved. I think when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," Mark 16:15, it's because whosoever will may come. Now, the book of Romans does say that if we are saved, we are predestined to be fully conformed to the image of Christ. And Bert, I really think that predestination, as Romans lays it out, is more about the eternal security of the believer and not really saying, okay, God by his decree said, this one is saved, that one can't be saved. It's not like that. Jesus did die for the entire human race. The atonement, I want to say this, the atonement makes our forgiveness possible, but our response makes our salvation actual. We have to respond, but when you put your faith in Christ and you're born again, then you will be preserved, and one day you'll get that glorified body. Now, we're to be sanctified and more conformed to the image of Christ as we grow down here. But I think, you know, when Romans says predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, Bert, I think that's really speaking about eternal security.
Let me read that again. I heard Romans 8:28 so much, and it was like a light went off when I said, doing what I teach here, I say, look what's before, look what's after, look where it is, who's he talking to? All those questions that a good Bible student will ask concerning any scripture, not just lifting it off the page, but look in the surrounding area. Now, listen to this. And we know, Paul writes, that all things work together for good. Man, that's awesome. To those who what? Love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and this is exactly what Alex said, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, when you see that conform, go over to Romans 12:1. Be not conformed to this world, but be what, Alex? Transformed?
By the renewing of your mind.
And I believe this all my heart. It's talking about that. That are setting aside that we're to be more and more like Christ. And so thank you, Jimmy. Hey, Brent, did I understand that we got a question on Facebook? If we do, share it with us, brother.
Yes.
Okay.
Oop, you caught me off guard.
Oh, okay, I thought you were ready, man. Go ahead.
Bert, can I say one thing?
Yeah.
We do a lot of events and conferences, and a lot of times people register ahead of time. At like August 8th, we've got Eric Metaxas coming to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And every now and then people will call me and they'll say, I didn't register online. And I said, look, I've got a list at the front door. And are you coming? Yes, I'm coming. Then I say, don't you worry. I'll put your name on my list. You just tell them I'm so-and-so and Alex knows I'm coming. All right, I foreknew who was going to come because they responded to my invitation. And I put their name on the list so that when they get to that front door, there's no problem. They're in. And that's probably a poor illustration. But, you know, when the Romans 8:29, whom he foreknew, Jesus knows who has trusted him. Jesus knows who will trust him. And he predestined them to be conformed to the image of his son. So God knows who his are. I mean, it's like John 11:14, my sheep hear my voice, you know. And so somehow there is the sovereignty of God, but there's also the response of man.
Amen. And they work together. They work together, don't they, Alex?
Yeah, in the Bible, you find both. Amen. You do find the providence of God, but you also find the responsibility of human beings.
Amen. Brent, you got it ready for us now, brother? Go right ahead.
I do. This is from, I can't find the name, but anyway, she's asking about tithing. She says, my husband and I tithe his paycheck to our church for many years, and now I have a job as well. Would it be all right to give the tithe of my paycheck to other ministries?
Okay, it's a big question. There's disagreement on this. It's called storehouse. We were in the book of Malachi. Alex is the kingdom and the church bigger than the local church? I'm asking you that.
Yeah, it is. The kingdom of God and all the great and the worthy ministries are bigger than just one single church. Listen, I believe, Angie and I believe in supporting the local church.
Amen.
And giving where you're fed. You know, I really believe that. I will say this, that, you know, there's tithes and there's offerings. And sometimes, I'm just going to say this, and if you're the pastor, you can correct me if I'm wrong. There's times that we've sent our tithes to ministries, Billy Graham, AFR, Focus on the Family, you know, Samaritan's Purse. Because for one thing, the church where we're a member of, there's been times I know they didn't need it. I mean, really. I mean, I go to the business meetings and, you know, in general, our tithe goes to South Elm Street Baptist Church. But we've sent our tithes, and I personally think, you know, Paul said, let every man give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. We do a lot of thought and a lot of prayer about how we give and where we give, and sometimes the tithe goes to places other than just our local church. Now, what do you say, Bert?
I agree with you. I think you need to be a part and support your local church. Let me just give an example. I've been a pastor several years, and I've had some wealthy people that were a part of our fellowship. If they had a tithe only to the local church, the budget would have been so overwhelmingly in that individual. And then you structure your giving and support to other ministries according to how much is coming in. And if something were to happen to that individual, move away, die, and then all of a sudden that money wasn't there like it was, man. So I think it is positionally where you can do that. But you need to support your local church. And then on the outside, the other ministries, on occasions and with extra offerings, I think that is good. Well, listen, we got another call in, Andrew from Illinois. Andrew, go right ahead. Thank you for calling, brother.
You bet. Thanks for having me. I have a family member who has listened to wrong people, I think, I know, and he believes in replacement theology, where the Jews don't inherit the land and it should go to the Christians and not to the Jews. And how do I dissuade him of that?
Alex, this is a question we get quite often. You've got you can articulate it much better than me. Go ahead.
Well, yes, I thank you for caring about this very important topic. And I would just encourage you to read Romans 9 through 11, really, that God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and that land belongs to Israel. And of course, Romans 11, Paul asks this question, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. And so Israel, first of all, their rejection of Jesus was not complete. While it was, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin that said, crucify him, crucify him, the earliest believers were Jewish. And so, the death and resurrection of Christ on a Roman cross, Jew and Gentile alike were complicit with that crucifixion. But, Israel will one day occupy their land in a state of belief. And so the church has not replaced Israel. We must, as we handle Scripture, make a distinction between Israel and the church. Now, let me just say this, Bert. Replacement theology, sometimes called supersessionism, it came about in the Reformation time, because they were trying to figure out how do you handle all these prophetic passages when Israel has not existed since March of 70 AD. I firmly believe if Calvin and the Reformers had lived until May of 1948, replacement theology would never have been dreamed up.
I agree. Let me share with you. There's one track of salvation. It is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, before and after. But God's track for Israel and the church, God can handle two things at one time, Alex. I know that's a maybe poor way of saying it, but he has a plan for the church. We're going to be raptured. We're going to take it out. But Israel, the nation, they're going to be there. God still has his plan. He's still working. And he has a plan. Like you said, he promised it to Abraham. Alex, I hope everything continues to do good in Florida. Stay safe, brother.
Oh, God bless. And keep us in prayer as we share the gospel with these youth.
Amen. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.